Spirit Radio Podcasts.
On the line, I have Therese Davey for this week's Home and Lifestyle Tips. And actually a really important thing to be talking about is how can we make sure that we are drinking enough water, especially with the warmer weather. How much should we be drinking every day, Therese? Remind us.
A minimum of 2 litres, and people who are larger, I do believe, have to drink more.
Okay, so minimum of 2 litres. So that's four of your standard size water bottle, you know, your 500ml water bottles. Make sure you're getting those into you. But some people go, oh my gosh, so difficult to do when I forget about it. And how do you get more water into yourself?
You actually time it, I was told. So you make sure you have your first pint in the morning before you get up, before breakfast, after breakfast. The next pint, make sure it's there and by lunchtime, and the next pint at dinner, and be sure that it's finished, completed by dinner, and then the other floaty one throughout the course of the day. And so if you pitch the levels for yourself, seemingly, it's easier to do. I find it very hard. I love water. I know you're great at drinking water, Wendy. You're one of the good, tuned-in people there. But I find it very difficult. But there are loads... Now, when we say water, it's liquids. So a tea or a coffee or the soup are all considered in that. So it's 2 litres of liquid. But water is the handiest way of saying it. But one of the first things I do every summer with our visiting children when they come to Sligo is we have a flavoured water tasting.
Okay, so what do you flavour it with?
So the children have a choice. This is where it's dead handy to have all the frozen fruit in the freezer. Sliced oranges, slices of lemon and lime, and mint and cucumber. And if there's pineapple or sliced raspberries there, you can also put that into your water or mint on its own. So the sweet toothed children generally like the orange sliced water, as we all did as children. But there's one child who actually likes the cucumber and mint in the water. So people have different tastes. You know, they have a sweet taste and a savoury taste. So do try them. And it's just a way of getting the children or yourself to drink the water.
Yeah, and there's so many, obviously it's really important to stay hydrated, but there's loads of knock-on effects as well that people don't even know. For example, when my husband was in with the physiotherapist recently with back issues, she said, you know, one of the things that can lead to back pain is not drinking enough water. That's just one example.
Yeah, and then there's the whole hair, skin, teeth, keeping the organs moving, keeping everything flushed and out. And remember, we talked for years about having that first glass of warm water with the lemon first thing in the morning. It's just so good for you, for kind of a rinse in the morning. But save glass bottles that fit in the fridge for storing your water, because chilled water is easier to drink. Do you agree?
Oh, yes, especially on hot days. It's lovely.
Yeah. If you spot a posh apple juice bottle or a lemonade bottle in your friend's house, ask them to save them for you, and that could do it. But always make sure you have a lid on your water vessel in the fridge, because water absorbs flavours from the fridge. And spring onion and orange don't really mix, do they, Wendy?
No, I wouldn't put those two together.
Not a combination.
Even being pregnant, I haven't had a craving that weird.
No. So always make sure there's a lid or that your water is protected. And if it's really hot and sunny and you're heading to the beach for the day, freeze your water bottles from the night before and you have a lovely cool drink all day.
Delicious. Okay, have you got a job of the week for me?
Oh yes, and they're water-based. Soak your pots. Terracotta pots dry out, in particular, very quickly. And it's not just the sun that dries the pots, it's the wind as well. So you need to keep your pots saturated. And you can either soak them, if you buy one of those plastic flexi containers and you can pop them into them for an hour or two and do it every 2 or 3 days, or you sprinkle water on them with the watering can, because it needs to be light water, because the water needs to permeate. You don't want the roots of the plant coming up to the top and kind of, that's not good. And keep weeding, that's the second thing. But with your gloves, keep weeding, that's the second job of the day. Used water, Wendy, I was only doing this yesterday. We use a sink to wash up some things, and when you need to wash things in the sink, and we save the water. And I threw it out on the tomato plants, because you can use the used water in your garden. It's a very old-fashioned way of reusing your water, but it's just something to keep in your head, because when they start charging for water, it'd be useful to know.
I know, exactly, and just to kind of keep an eye on it. And finally,
it's mid-year. Take a look at your calendar and see, do you need to write in some dates or some dates for the summer, and book your places or venues for the summer before the time slots disappear, particularly if you're visiting places or OPW sites or things like that. The children are there, but make sure you book well in advance. Fill your calendar, fill it in now.
Yeah, and do it while you think of it, or it goes out of your head. And also, while we have you, Therese, we have to say congratulations to your husband. I know he's starting a new job today, so hope it goes well.
hope it goes well. He's on his way to Shannon, and we're thankful and thank God for that job, because in these difficult times there are many people who were made redundant over the past couple of months, and so bless them, and hopefully they will get a job too.
Spirit. There's been more than 140 cases of fraudulent pandemic unemployment payments being claimed. And also there's an ESRI report that finds 95% of PUP recipients are financially better off working. So what changes are coming down the line in terms of who can claim and how much longer they can claim for? On the line to tell us more, we have financial expert John Lowe of moneydoctors.ie. So John, what is the latest news on the PUP payments?
Well, they're going to be certainly there for at least till next September, that's for sure. Maybe it could be even till the end of the year, Wendy. The sad part is that it's been reflected even in the kind of hospitality sector. I don't know if you noticed restaurants. At my local restaurant, for instance, I tried last Friday to book a lunch, an outdoor restaurant, I might add, a lunch at lunchtime. And they said we're opening only from Wednesday to Saturday, and that's from 5 p.m. they said, because we simply can't get staff. And apparently, it's right across Ireland that it is now easier to kind of take a pub payment than actually to go to work, which is a sad part. And that's now also, as you just mentioned there, there's one person, 7,300 fraudulent claimed for. I think it's an absolute disgrace. You know, bad enough we've been in a pandemic, but I'd actually happen to profit from it.
Yeah, and in terms of, I know that is a problem across the board, just various different professions for either, as you say, John, where they're better off taking the pub, or that they're from another country and they've actually gone home, and it's just so hard for businesses to get staff in particular areas. So who is still eligible for it then?
Well, I mean, basically somebody who has been told, go home, there's no work here for you. And there's still an awful lot of people who are in that situation. You know, Wendy, the sad part is that when the pub payments do stop, and eventually they will stop, that's when you're going to see liquidations, you're going to see companies going, to the wall, you're going to find redundancies, where there'll just be statutory redundancies, rather than, the lucrative redundancies that you might get in a bank or an insurance company. So, I mean, we're still in a very uncertain era, and on certain times that we don't know really what's going to happen once these payments stop. But for a lot of people, some are making more money than they would be if they were working. And therefore they're saying to themselves, is it worth my while going back to work?
But do you think then, is it an appropriate time then, John, to be kind of looking at that situation and saying, in terms of when this ESRI report says 95% are financially better off in one way, to look at just social welfare in general, or is it not the right time for it? What do you think?
Well, social welfare in general, it covers a huge amount of issues, from disability to people who are genuinely unable to work. And they need to be maintained and supported, no doubt about that. But, where you have people who simply because of the economics of the company that they're working for can't afford to employ them any longer, it's really about reinvention. I won't tell you in my case, 13 years ago when we were hit by the recession, and we were a company going, doing $200 million a year in mortgages, to zero, Wendy, to zero. Now, that was definitely a case of where we had to reinvent and try and look at other areas of finance that people would require. Unfortunately, it has worked very well. And now, of course, the mortgages have started to come back again big time. It's a little bit frightening out there, the way property prices are going back up again.
As you've touched on it, John, we might finish with that. I mean, front page headlines today are saying, I think the front page headline of the Irish Independent was red hot house price rises back to Celtic Tiger levels.
Absolutely.
Have we learned anything? Why is this happening and what can we do about it?
Well, demand and supply, essentially. There's just simply not enough houses being built. And with people as well who've got money over the last year and a half saved, they've got to deposit. So there's a lot of buyers out there who are actually looking for property. And the problem is there's not enough property. So, of course, I've got lots of clients who are really scared and they're waiting on the formal approval from the bank or the lender, to give to them, because they're afraid that somebody's going to gazump them. And that word gazump is back in again.
So really the main thing is just trying to get more supply out there. So would you be advising, you know, first-time buyer to go out and buy a house now, or should we be holding off?
You know, that's a really good question, because actually I was playing a game of golf with a young gentleman who was around late 20s, early 30s, and he asked me that exact question. I said, look, you know, it's really basically down to your home. If you need a home, it doesn't really matter about, you know, the price of it or the value, or is it going to increase in value. It's your home. You won't be selling it anytime soon. So always go for it. Go for the home. If you go for an investment property, that's a different kettle of fish.
Yeah, so it depends what you're looking for and what you need. John, as always, thank you so much for joining us on the programme today. That is John Lowe of themoneydoctors.ie. Spirit. The leaving certificate examinations are wrapping up. So what has been the overall reaction to the written papers, and how will the combination of written paper grades mixed with predictive grades impact the CAO points and college course places this year, and what other options are on the horizons for this year's leaving cert students? On the line to give us guidance on some of these things, we have guidance counsellor Betty McLaughlin. So Betty, what was the overall reaction from students to this year's leaving cert written exam?
Well, Wendy, I'd say it was very good, because they all knew going into the exam this year that everything wasn't just hanging on that one exam, that if the worst came to the worst, they'd have their accredited grade, they're now calling them, to fall back on. So there was far less pressure on students. Also, they had a lot more time to complete. They had a lot more time this year in the exams because they had less questions to answer. So, for example, students coming out of our school who had done accountancy, where they would always have been caught for time with the long questions, they had them finished before time for the first time ever. So there was a very good reaction after the papers, you know, and students definitely felt they were delighted that everything wasn't hanging on that.
Yeah, and coming out feeling less stressed, you know, than maybe previous years.
Absolutely more than previous years, without a doubt.
I suppose you could say, Betty, that this year's Leaving Cert students had enough stress, that's for sure.
Exactly.
In terms of the year.
And they were glad to know, I'm doing this, but I have two tickets in that raffle instead of one for the points.
Exactly. So what happens next in the process in terms of how results will be issued and how that will work, especially for those who've opted for predictive grades?
Yes. Well, the predictive grades will already be with the department now. So they're working on those. And then totally separate to that, the State Exams Commission will be having the correctors now. They're having their conferences on setting the standards, the success criteria, and they're marking the papers. So there is a bit of a delay until the 3rd of September or 4th of September this year for the release of those results, because they're going to have to put the two sets together and give them the best of both. So if your teacher gave you a H2 and you got a H1 in the exam, you get the H1 and vice versa. So that's going to be helpful, but it is going to slow the process a little bit. But colleges, they will be springing into action, and they are going to wait until students have their course before they start. They're going to wait for registration. They've put it back in line, and they're all talking together. Also, the UCAS, for anyone who has applied to the UK, they have all accepted that there is a delay in these unhistorical cases, shall we say. So they will have your mark, and they will have your best point, and they will make your offers to you. That will happen within, at the latest, 5 days of the day you get your results, you know. So you won't have too long to wait. You will actually be less time than people before you once you get the results. The only thing is, you are waiting a little bit longer in September, but it's not as much pressure as before, because in the past, around mid-August, the second Wednesday in August, was usually the results were handed out around the 15th.
And Betty, obviously some students will have their hearts set on particular courses, etc., etc. So, but there's lots of different avenues that this year's Leaving Cert students can look towards in terms of the next steps in their education. So I know there's so many, but just give us an idea of what could be on the horizons.
Okay, so certainly the first thing, if you have done your CAO course, just revisit it now and see are you happy with the course choices you have put down, because that's your last chance to do that is the 1st of July, which is this Thursday. So by 5:15 this Thursday, you can't make any more changes or alterations to your CAO form. Then you can also look at the post-leaving cert courses, plc.ie, And on those courses, they're all open. You can make an application. It's a very simple application. All you need is your PPS number. And that you go onto their website. There's the shortest application you could think of there. And you can put your name down for some of those courses too. You can find them on Qualifex or you can find them on postplc.ie. Then, if you wish to look at apprenticeships, please, there's every kind of an apprenticeship out there. There's lots of money been putting in. There's lots of incentive for tradespeople to take on young apprenticeships where you would be getting your pay as your training and you'd be getting half in college, half on the job. Lovely way to do it. Solace.ie or apprenticeships.ie. And you can ring your local education board as well, and they will give you advice as well on what to do. I mean, you can do that for accounting, for example. You can go in as an apprenticeship for with the Accounting Technicians of Ireland. That's ATI. You can go on their website if you're interested in accountancy, and you can start getting 18,000 a year, and you can start off as an apprenticeship. Over the 4 years, they will educate you, and you can go from being from doing a basic course in it right the whole way through to chartered accountant. So they're all amazing opportunities that were not there 5 years ago. They're there now. And, you know, I would say explore all options because that blended learning is very good that the apprenticeships offer. You know, a lot of the courses as well now on the CAO, they have improved in offering a year abroad, a study year abroad, and students love that opportunity. They love the opportunity of a paid work placement during it. So check out these things this week and look at those options and say what kind of a course would suit me best. And there's nothing wrong with putting your name down for three or four different options and different avenues as well.
Yeah, and there's so many different avenues to choose from, as you say, Betty. Great advice, as always. Thank you so much for joining us on the show today. That is Guidance Counsellor and former President of the Institute of Guidance Counsellors, Betty McLaughlin, giving great advice, as always.
Spirit.
Thankfully, the weather has been great and I've been loving outdoor meetups. Well, our next guest has gotten creative and found out a new bespoke outdoor picnic business for things like special events and picnic parties. I've been to a few and they've been great. She's based in Wexford and she's going to tell us a little bit more. It's great to have with us on the line Liberty Henrich, who's the founder of Kailora Events. Okay, Liberty, so where did you get the idea for this business venture?
Hi, Wendy. So I just think always I've thought in the Old Testament how God encouraged people to celebrate and to remember and be thankful and to thank him for what he's done. And so I've always loved the idea of celebration with family and friends and your community. And I suppose the pandemic has made us realize that getting outdoors actually isn't as bad as we thought it was before in Ireland. You know, the weather,
it's actually quite good, isn't it?
It's actually quite fun, yeah. And especially in Wexford, we have so many beautiful spots. But even in just in your back garden or on your deck or your patio, wherever, it's just lovely to be out and eat outside together. So I think, yeah, it just kind of, it was born in the pandemic, basically, the idea.
Yeah, and I think especially, I know in my experience, Liberty, and I know lots of parents listening who've been to any of these outdoor picnic birthday parties, not only are they much easier for the parents who are hosting because you don't have to clean up your house before and after, and you have lots more space and everything with kids, it can work out really well.
And you can just dust the crumbs off into the grass and the birds are delighted. So.
And then where you go, okay, so let's say I have a special occasion coming up or I just want to get people together for a picnic. How does it all work? How does the setup work when you guys come in?
So I bring in all the things that you need for your picnic. So we have these little custom-made tables that are low to the ground. They're only about 15 centimetres high. And they just raise your food up off the ground, so it's sometimes it's just easier to eat off a little table rather than on your lap, you know, or off the mat. And then we have a whole load of different soft furnishings to make you really comfortable and cozy. So we've got cushions and mats and warm, fluffy throws if it's a bit cooler in the afternoons. And then I lay the table with vintage ware, china, silverware, glasses, champagne, crystal champagne flutes, and fresh flowers and candles to make it something really luxurious and special, especially for like an anniversary or even a proposal with an unusual twist, or hen parties and that kind of thing, or children's birthday parties, anything really that's something special.
And in terms of, okay, we're loving the sun at the moment, Liberty, but what if what if the weather turns and there's a bit of rain? How are you set up for that?
I do have a teepee-shaped canopy. that people can use if they want it, and it will protect you from the rain, not from downpours, but it's ideal for light rain or even really harsh sunshine, because if you've got little ones that are, you know, you don't want to be out in the sun all afternoon, so it's good for that as well. And then my policy is that I will, there's opportunities to change your date or to get a refund or anything like that, so you're not tied to the date.
Yeah, if you see coming down the line there's a thunderstorm coming, it's not going to work.
Oh gosh, yeah. And I mean, the other alternative is to even have a picnic set up indoors. I can't come into people's homes at the moment, but I can allow people to do their DIY. I'll give you everything that you need and you can just create the lovely setup in your own home too, so that's an option if people want it. Definitely.
Great. And in terms of, so you're obviously doing all the setup, all the practical stuff, the cutlery, all that sort of stuff. Do you work with local suppliers in terms of the catering side of things, or it's a picnic? Are most people just saying everyone's bringing something? It's grand.
Yes. So there are different options. Some people just bring their own in. They just, because everybody has their own taste. And then I do have a list of people that I recommend locally who do these picnic grazing boxes, and they're filled with really delicious goodies, the whole, and they're kind of customized to what you want. And then there are these beautiful afternoon tea boxes on tiered stands and things. So yeah, there's a lot of local businesses that I've looked into and that I recommend based on.
And what parts of Ireland are you covering at the moment, Liberty, and how do people get in touch and book you in and everything?
Yeah, so I'm in based in Wexford, so I'll cover County Wexford. And to get in touch with me, they can find me on social media. So I'm on Instagram. My handle is Kaylura_. I know Kaylura is not really the easiest word to spell in the world. So it's like Kaylee, Kaylie_. It normally has a fodder, but on Instagram, obviously, there's no fodders. And then or Facebook, I'm on the Kaylura events. And then I have a website that is under construction and to maintenance today, but that's also kaylureevents.business.site. Yep.
Great stuff. It's such a good idea. And here's lots of lovely picnics. Thanks for joining us on the show today. That is Liberty Henwick, founder of Kaylura Events. And as Liberty said, you can check out herself on Facebook under Kaylura Events and at Instagram at Kaylura_. And also you can reach her on her phone 087-955-4510. Such a great idea. Spirit. Well, the Davis Cup is the World Cup of tennis, and it is the largest annual international team competition in world sport. And it's great to have good news, isn't it? Because it's been a fantastic time for Irish tennis, with Ireland securing promotion to the Davis Cup World Group 2 of the tournament that recently took place in Cyprus. On the line to tell us more, and of course Wimbledon starts today, so no doubt we'll have a quick chat about that as well. We have David O'Hare, former tennis ATP pro player turned ATP tour coach. David, first of all, it's an amazing achievement. Tell us what it was like for Team Ireland competing in this round of the Davis Cup in Cyprus.
Yeah, well, thanks very much for having me on today. I think this year's experience is obviously a little bit different with all the restrictions and whatnot in place. So just with Lisa, who's in charge of all the admin with Tennis Ireland, she did a fantastic job in just making sure we had everything, all our I's dotted and our T's crossed. And, you know, I think it was a unique element having the teams almost kind of separated for meal times, and you know, it was different take, but certainly it was great to be over there. It was great to get picked, and yeah, we had a ball. Good teamwork. I was very much the elder statesman this time around. I think the majority of the guys were 10 years younger than me, so I was in a nice position to try and help their early careers and you know,
pass your wisdom on.
Yeah, to some degree, you know, I've been pretty fortunate now. I kind of sidestepped into a coaching role on the HP Tour and was been involved with some high-level players. So to try and just pass on some wisdom has kind of been a role I really enjoyed. And then on a personal level, it was almost like my last little hurrah with tennis. You know, I kind of got injured back in January 2018 and thought I would find myself back playing and never did. So this was like a nice chance to kind of get back out there competing, and it was a brilliant event. I've always loved obviously representing Ireland in the Davis Cup, but also the team aspect is something super special. You know, you kind of have the support and the coach on course. It's a brilliant experience.
And what's it been like kind of training during the pandemic? Has that had to be very different, David?
Yeah, well, for me, I kind of haven't really been training. I've been coaching and hitting a little bit with the player that I coach. But it has been tricky, kind of the adversity that the guys are facing on the tour, with just making sure they've got all their PCR tests organized, all the paperwork. You're not sure of what the Border Patrol officer is going to ask you and what you might need. So there's definitely an added element of uncertainty to it, which makes it a bit more challenging getting kind of carting around Europe to play the tournament.
And what is going to happen next then, David, just in terms of the Davis Cup, the next rounds, how's it all going to work, or do you know?
Yeah, we're waiting. So it'll be held next year. So this is what we just played in Cyprus is a round robin event. So we were in a group with Luxembourg, Monaco and Malta, and came second behind Monaco, and then played a playoff against Georgia for promotion. So three teams were promoted. Monaco came first, Cyprus came second, and we came third to secure promotion to World Group 2. And going into, the World Group 2 ties, this is kind of the general fixture format for Davis Cup, where they have reverse singles generally on the Friday, then the doubles is on the Saturday, and then the shootout singles is on the Sunday. So it's just against one nation usually, and there's like a little bit more time to prepare. You kind of get there a week in advance, and you have a couple of days practice, and you can be. For me, as a double player, I'll generally just be playing on the Saturday, so you can kind of put it all in on the Friday on the sidelines, and then it's your time to shine then on the Saturday, and extend the tie hopefully into the Sunday, and or clinch the tie if the reverse singles go your way on the Friday.
Okay, and one thing I wanted to ask you about, Dave, before you go, is Wimbledon, of course, which is starting today. 2 years we're waiting for Wimbledon now because of last year's tournament being cancelled. So what do you expect this year? Who are you going to be following in particular?
I think, in a couple hours' time, we'll have, an interesting young talent on display, Jack Draper, playing against Novak Djokovic, see how he can handle himself, on centre court. For a Brit, is always a big moment, especially against, arguably someone that's going to end up the best of all time in Djokovic. All eyes on Djokovic and Federer, I suppose. Nothing new there, but to see if Djokovic can secure another slam, And keep chasing down Federer and Nadal to be, the world's best and clinch the most slams. So that'll be an interesting story, but just a lot of young talent out there now, a lot of new guys breaking through, and definitely some interesting first round matchups.
Thanks for listening to our Spirit Radio podcast. Don't miss out. Subscribe today. Find out how at spiritradio.ie.